broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for August 19th in the year of our Lord, 2015. This is hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country in the traditions of our founders. We believe in the checks and balances put in place by the Almighty through our founders. And the checks and balances are the key to the exercise to restore the greatest country on the face of the earth. We don't need a revolution, but a restoration, no doubt, is in order. A return to God's laws on an individual and family basis, the fundamental unit of society. And then furthermore, as it trickles down, demanding the proper role of limited government. It all starts with education, folks. Welcome to the broadcast. Kurt Cosby's with me. We got our guest as well with us, Mr. James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Kurt, welcome.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
And James, welcome.
Sam, you know, every month when the calendar flips, I circle that third Wednesday and just start the countdown. It's great to be with you and Kurt today.
All right. Now, we've been hitting some incredibly hard-hitting topics, and we'll get to those coming up. We'll get your take on a lot of it and throw a couple of other strange headlines into the mix. But before we do that, let's just drill into a softer subject because it's kind of interesting and it's a unique twist. I like to kind of shake it up a little bit. Animal magic, Kurt. Five-year-old girl. She's pretty talented, we hear.
Well, it's kind of an interesting story. Five-year-old, Chinese girl that basically, I'd like to tell you her name. It's Han Jiang, I guess. But anyway, I guess they say she could put animals to sleep with her voice and her hands. She showed off her skill on a popular talent show in China. She hypnotized five creatures, including a lizard and a rabbit, all in 5 minutes. I guess they say it's a trick that uses a natural reflex called tonic immobility or apparent death. But anyway, maybe she could use that on Congress.
Now, hey, my thunder card.
If we could take that to both sides of the aisle and just get her done, that'd be phenomenal. Now, what I don't understand though is you and I, as a kid, used to like play war, or play toy guns or whatever, and play dead and stuff. This is a little different, huh?
That's correct, Sam. This apparently, 5 years old is pretty young, but apparently they show her, basically putting like a lizard to sleep, making it turn over on its back, and having it just kind of go to pass out or whatever. A rabbit's not really, I've never been able to put them to sleep with my hands anyway. But
yeah, Kurt has to resort to the gun.
That's just an interesting idea, maybe this girl's got some real talent there, Pretty impressive.
Man, what if they did that on the campaign stage, Kurt? The Trumpster wouldn't have been able to respond.
Yeah, or, he could use that, it kind of makes you think of that scene in the Star Wars movie where the guy goes, "No, let them pass," and he moves his hand across or something.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
You just got to be able to hypnotize creatures, and creatures would include Congress, imagine being able to hypnotize Boehner and McConnell, and maybe even...
Yeah, Obama, you got to hypnotize Joe Biden when he's around your wife, too, I'm telling you.
Ooh. Yeah.
Got to stop that stuff, because, man, the pink Viagra pill's out, James. Are you all excited about that?
Thankfully, I don't need it yet, Sam, but, I guess every man's day comes, right?
Well, here's the deal. Let me just explain how this works.
Wait. This is a pink, it's for the women.
Yes, pink Viagra.
Okay, it just shows how aloof I am on this particular subject. Interesting.
Now, listen, here's the deal.
I guess, are we talking about, is this a Bruce Jenner story?
No, this is just a pink little pill that you give women, and now they get all, hopped up for sex might be the best way to describe it. Now, here's the deal, though. Let me explain. Right now, the problem is all these men are raping women everywhere, right? But if you get all the women's desire ratcheted up, rapes will probably go down, James.
Well, except for regret rapes, which is, you know, sweeping the country.
I just give them another pill. They won't regret it for too long.
That's right.
See what kind of an immoral society we've spiraled to, James?
This could come in handy. You know, a lot of men have lost their, you know, we live in this day and age where you're pretty much zombies. They were actually talking about this on O'Reilly last night, with just everybody, you know, stuck in their phones, and people have lost the ability to communicate and to attract. You know, certainly with regards to men, you certainly don't see the confidence and the aggressiveness that was once, you know, associated with manliness and charisma and things of that nature, because, you know, roles and genders and appropriate behavior has been obscured. So I don't know. Maybe that needs to be medically treated now.
Now, understand that as we give women the pink pill, though, their desire increases. It doesn't just say for males, though. It could be,
well, no, that's what I'm,
you know, anything
saying.
There, you know.
These will help these, you know, effeminate males perhaps get over the hump, no pun intended.
Ouch. All right. Now, I'm going to switch the topic on purpose to this. Hundreds of Orem, Utah elementary students, I guess they're receiving free shoes, school supplies, and medical checkups, Kurt.
Yeah, now, you know, Sam, this is kind of a local story to us. They've got a thing they call the Shoes for School program. And I guess, you know, at least the reason I thought this was kind of interesting is, you know, it's part government and part private. You know, anytime private.
Yeah, I understood that to be fascism, Kurt.
Yeah, good point. But anytime private individuals, churches, people, you know, chime together and try to help their fellow men and women out or whatever, then that's great. But when you, you know, mix government into it. Anyway, here's the story. They say one instance of a grateful mother serves as the perfect example for why months of preparation for the third annual Shoes for School program were well worth the exhaustive effort. The lady speaking with a West Valley woman who broke into tears of joy because her son now had glasses that would help him function more easily at school. She was just crying, she said. Now my son can see. And this lady who, as a community outreach coordinator, is that kind of like what Obama does, but anyway, for Molina Healthcare, spearheads the Shoes for School events. Now, by the way, Molina Healthcare, one of the biggest things that it does is, you know, the whole, you know, government healthcare where we, you know, have this CHIPS programs, etc. But anyway, this was an encounter, they say, that Molina served 500 students with the help of school officials. Let's see, school officials, aren't they paid for by tax dollars? But anyway, bottom line, now they're saying they've got all these good things, and they say all for free. Now, it's kind of like the free school, if you ask me, but, you know, wouldn't it be so nice? And people do appreciate you know, charitable activities, but I would simply say we need to make sure that government's not doing the forced acts of charity like we see here.
Well, and that dovetails to our next story, and then we want you to comment on both of them, James. How should charitable dollars be spent, and who should decide, and all that stuff, Kurt?
Yeah, good point. You know, I guess there's even another report where Mr. Franklin Graham, you know, they say is bringing in like $880,000 a year. But the federal regulations are going to, you know, check on all this and make sure that, you know, faith-based charities spend taxpayer money correctly. I just simply say taxpayer money shouldn't be involved in any forced acts of charity. Should it, Sam?
No, of course not. But the big takeaway here is, I guess the federal government's now going to weigh in on this and decide how charitable organizations can spend money.
You know. Well, yeah, but don't you think that'll fix all the problems?
Let me think about this here. Depends on how you define a problem, Kurt.
Yeah, good point.
Because if we look at problems the way you and I might, then of course it's disaster. But if you look at the government, I mean, the government always solves every problem, Kurt.
Yep, good point. But anyway, we leave the charity to the churches and the people?
Let me explain the headline, Kurt. It says that federal regulations may please all sides. So you understand that everybody's going to be happy, James.
Well, you know, I got to get Kurt out of my head today, because every time I hear him break down a story, there's something that pops into my mind, and he pretty much says it word for word about 30 seconds later. But, you know, certainly there's nothing wrong with being charitable and being philanthropic, but these endeavors should certainly be run by the local communities, by churches and things of that.
All right, hold on, James. There's been 20 years of contention, and we got the fix. I got the fix, by the way. I'll tell you about it in a second. Sam Bushman, Kurt Cosby, James Edwards, the political cesspool on Liberty Roundtable Live.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils is an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
The adultery promoting, the fornication promoting website Ashley Madison got hacked. Now they say it's a divorce lawyer's dream come true. Do you think the divorce lawyers who might be struggling for cash might be behind it? Just curious. All right, back to regular programming. How should faith-based charities spend taxpayer money? New federal regulations they claim may please all sides. Now, let me just kind of break this down really quick. Nearly 20 years of contentious debates over the relationship between faith-based charitable groups and government funding at federal agencies, well, they're coming to an agreement. Proposed federal rules are aimed at clarifying how taxpayer money is spent by faith-based organizations They're also allowing faith-based organizations to request a, let's see what they call it, a secular social service provider. The suggested rules announced on Wednesday, I guess in a blog post by Melissa Rogers, she heads up the White House Office of Faith-Based Partnerships. They're going to modify and extend requirements that religious charities separate any religious activities from the government funding, you see. And so a group can, well, let's say this. A faith-based group can have federally funded job training programs. They can also offer Bible study classes, but they got to separate the money. And it's all nothing but games. But let me just tell you right now, it's going to be a smackdown of faith-based groups. James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org, incredible talk show host with an award-winning show every Saturday evening on your favorite talk network, Liberty News Radio. James, what do you say? It's going to be a smackdown of the faith groups. They're going to back into it by the stick and the carrot plan, aren't they?
Well, first of all, Sam, thank you. I want to say thank you for that. But listen, I mean, this government couldn't be more hostile to Christianity. And so, you know, if you're talking about, I heard Kurt mention Franklin Graham, if you're talking about, you know, churches taking any sort of benevolence, even the 501c3 tax status, you know, it's all to, obviously, as we know, control what they say to a certain extent. And that's why, really, the churches have been rendered entirely impotent in this culture war, you know, for the past several decades. You know, this, you know, you hear very little about social issues anymore, except for a few tame and watered-down sermons in some of the few Bible-believing churches that are left. Most churches now are pretty much just social clubs. And, you know, a disturbing trend has developed. You know, we have lost the ability to go out there and demonstrate and to stand up for our beliefs as these radicals on the left do for theirs. People are scared of being called an extremist or a bigot or a homophobe or whatever other, you know, buzzword that they have floating out there for otherwise you would call them good, decent, morally upstanding people. But, yeah, I mean, if you take anything from the government, there's going to be a string attached, and there's going to be a hook put into you. So they shouldn't do it. The government doesn't have any business, you know, managing or doling out or having any say in charitable endeavors either. And really that should be something that the churches do, completely free of government interference and oversight. And, you know, it's good. Listen, as I was saying before the last break, philanthropic endeavors are good. Charitable endeavors are good. Sometimes people truly do need a helping hand. The government already runs the biggest charity in the world. It's called Welfare. But these should be things that are put on by the local community, and that should be where it ends. You know, families can choose to do that with the resources they have. You know, I am all for, as I guess everybody listening to this program and this network are, for the least amount of government involvement in my life is, you know, I can possibly.
I hear that.
Nothing, you know, beware of the Trojan horse. Nothing good's going to come from the government, I can tell you that.
All right. Now, Kurt's much better than Radio Shack for two reasons. One, Kurt's not bankrupt. And two, when you've got questions, Kurt has answers. Kurt Crosby, what on earth is the solution, sir?
Well, you know, when we're talking about the whole, charity thing, it's pretty simple. I mean, it was that way before the government got involved in it. You know, the churches and private individuals took care of the charitable needs of the people, and that's how it ought to be again.
So, hey, if we get government out of it, we won't have a government debate about where faith-based groups are spending government tax dollars, because there won't be any government tax dollars to debate. Pretty simple solution, huh, folks?
Exactly.
It would also save the government money since they don't have it anyway. They're borrowing us into oblivion. And so the solution is to borrow less. How can faith-based charities spend taxpayer money? Well, the answer is they don't need to. Why don't they spend charitable donors' money by their free will, not by government force at the barrel of a government gun, huh? All right, let's say, what, low oil prices are in the news, Kurt?
Well, yeah, Sam, and this is a pretty interesting thing when you see oil prices at or near, what, six-year lows, and yet the price of gas, California hit just above $5 a gallon just lately. Some places we're seeing, what, 270, something like that, but it's sure not the lowest price of fuel, and the question is, what gives?
Well, what gives is government manipulation, James Edwards, isn't it?
Well, fuel this year more than ever, more than any year that I've ever recalled, is sort of like fish at the market. It goes by market price. I filled up. We have a little small SUV for my wife and I and our two kids, and I filled it up. I even took a picture of it at the pump. It was earlier this spring. I filled it up from flat empty, full tank, for about $19. You know, I started driving in 1996. I was born in 1980. I started driving in 96. Now, I don't remember being that cheap then. And so, you know, last year it was about $40 or $50 to fill it up. Earlier this year it was $19. Now it's back up to about $40 again. So, you know, that oil, man, I guess some barrels cost more than others to pull out of the ground.
There you go.
Say that,
Kurt, let me ask you this.
Yeah?
When you have a government involved in the oil industry, so you've got big, huge, gargantuan transnational corporations in bed with governments all over the world. You got OPEC, the international oil mafia. Then you've got, you know, global international trade agreements. How OPEC is outside of that is another question. But then you have governments in bed with all these transnational corporations, where governments have oil reserves and they release oil and they, you know, store up oil, and they absolutely manipulate the price all over the country. They force government mandated additives into the gas based on different regions and based on different climate, seasonal realities, etc. They've got so many ways to control the price of oil that is beyond imagination. The free market in any industry is gone, but especially in the energy arena, Kurt.
Well, and it's really interesting to see what the high price of oil did to the market, you know, where you had, I mean, all this fracking going on and all this amazing, findings of all these dead dinosaurs way down in the ground, of course. You know, it's just amazing how there's oil like crazy everywhere when the price is really high. And now, you know, in some of those places where they were having a boom before, they're having kind of a bust, if you will, now. But the interesting thing to me is the fact is there's plenty of oil on the earth, in my opinion.
Well,
if we need
but the more government control you have, Kurt, the more swings you're going to have. Look, we had some swings in the banking industry before the Federal Reserve came. Okay, but we didn't have near the swings that we have now. Now they say the Federal Reserve is supposed to stop all those swings, but hey, we've had the Great Depression and the Great Recession since the Federal Reserve came into being. Andrew Jackson wisely routed the thug bankers out, but now we've been more foolish. Let's talk about that, because I think it directly relates to the oil industry. We basically regulate commodities with fiat fake money. They print it, they can control everything if they can just print more of it or retract it at their whim. We'll talk about that. We're also going to talk about some quadruplets that were born, and we'll talk about some insecticide. How's that? Liberty Roundtable Live with James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211, or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test, free, scientifically proven today.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, a listener goes by the moniker Lone Wolf. Basically said, hey, he was clarifying his statements about Trump being an illegal. The idea is at least one parent has to be U.S. born. And the debate rages about that. There's all kinds of debates about what a naturalized citizen is versus a whatever. And the list goes on quite a bit. And I personally believe that the founder's intent was to make sure that there were no foreign allegiances that might cloud the judgment of somebody who had serious power in the United States, especially the commander-in-chief of the largest military in the world, for instance. But the problem is that the debates are everywhere about this till the cows come home. And some say, well, that's the way it used to be. Then they had these laws that changed this and they had that. And the clarity is not really in the Constitution, so you got to debate it. And, you know, we can go on for days about that. And, you know, whether Trump is illegal in that regard or not, who knows? It's hard to tell. And it's really hard to get the funds to dig into it. I digress, but I wanted to respond to a listener nicknamed Lone Wolf. And by the way, that's not a nickname I would use because the government codifies that in documents. In the Patriot Act and otherwise, saying you're a domestic terrorist if you're a lone wolf. So be very careful with that moniker. Anyway, we're talking about oil prices. They pose a threat to the Texas fracking bonanza is the headline. And the bottom line is, you know what? The prices of oil and everything else are just manipulated to the umpteenth degree is the point. The Federal Reserve fiat money system at the heart of it all, and will never stop the commodity manipulation, and will never stop out-of-control belligerent government as long as we allow value to be created out of thin air by special inside thugs called bureaucrats or professional do-gooders. And many of them are appointed. Some of them are elected with manipulated vote tallies, etc., etc. So the battle rages on. Now, I want to step back to another story really quick before we move on to the next headline. We're talking about how should faith-based charities spend taxpayer money. Well, Kurt, why Franklin Graham's salary raises eyebrows is the question. Who's Franklin Graham, first of all?
Well, he's the big shot at what they call Samaritan's Ministries. They call it Samaritan's Purse. But anyway, it's a international relief agency based in Boone, North Carolina. You know, he's a pretty good dude and stuff like that. But in my opinion, the problem with some of these guys, for example, like the head guy at the scouting organization that we found out years ago was making $500,000 a year, you know, while the rest of us volunteer, it's just not what the leaders of these charitable organizations ought to be doing, in my opinion. They ought to be leading by example, as our congressmen and senators, et cetera, and the president ought to be doing as well. You know, they should be people who, in my opinion, already have the money they need, and they've decided to serve us, and not serve us in the way that this is happening.
Well, you can even do it like Ron Paul proposed, Kurt. Ron Paul was going to, as president, he'd get $400,000 a year. He basically said, I'll cut my salary 90% and just take $40,000. You know, I'm not really totally interested in everybody serving for free just because that eliminates 90% of us who aren't financially, quote, wealthy. Nevertheless, this idea to serve and get a stipend that's realistic compensation versus making bank is a big difference, James.
Well, this is something that, you know, people need to step back and be consistent and look at the whole picture. You know, that one of the reasons we don't have more people out there being involved in activism is because they can't afford it. You know, we don't have organizations that bring in enough money to have paid positions for our people to be full-time employed activists for a righteous cause. There is no problem with making money and drawing a salary while doing work for the issues that you believe in. You know, there's a misconception out there that in order to be a real patriot, you have to, you know, live in squalor and, you know, be impoverished, and only then can you, you know, be somebody that's trustworthy. There's nothing wrong with at all with the people that, especially Franklin Graham, who, you know, listen, the Billy Graham Ministries, I mean, think of how big these organizations are. You know, none of these CEOs for these Fortune 500 companies are out there, you know, working for, you know, the median income. Now, you know, when you talk about a charitable endeavor and a Christian endeavor, it does get a little bit different. I mean, money's relative. You know, $800,000, I mean, to us, you know, seems excessive. And I'm sure that Franklin could get by making, say, $200,000 or $300,000, still live a pretty comfortable life. So, you know, you could quibble over that. But overall, you know, there is nothing wrong with people earning money. In fact, we need more of that. We need more people being able to draw a salary. Because then you get more consistency, you get a lot less turnover. People tend to light the candle on both ends when they get initially involved in activism, and they burn out quick because there's nothing out there for them other than, you know, the attacks that inevitably come from our enemies, and it's not putting food on the table. So now this isn't in itself a bad thing, even if it is charity. But again, I guess, you know, at some point, it does be, you know, you don't want to take advantage of the position you have and receive more than you need. And maybe that's the case here. But overall, it shouldn't be something that's frowned upon by our people, that there are people out there that do draw a salary or at least a stipend or subsidize their income through their work if they do good work.
And people, you know, should have some compensation for their work, by the way. That's a critical point to understand, that, you know what, there should be value for value. And if I put a bunch of time into something, there's nothing wrong with an appropriate compensation for that. The question is what becomes appropriate, right?
You know, especially if you have a family, because, listen, I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen. If you're putting in a lot of time, I work almost full-time hours on the political festival. I'm actually putting up an article about that today. I was asked in a recent interview how much time I put in on the program each week, and I'm breaking it down in a little article today that's going to post around lunchtime here. But, you know, and I don't draw a salary for doing the program, but if you have a family and you're putting in a lot of time, there needs to be some compensation some way. Absolutely, Sam.
All right, Kurt.
Now, on this thing, I thought it was interesting when you look at the Franklin Graham thing. One guy asked him, I guess the guy's name is Mr. Wacker. He's a professor emeritus at Duke Divinity School. I guess Mr. Wacker's going to take a whack at
him. Yeah, let's ask anyway, how much that professor makes, too, Kurt.
Yeah. Anyway, he says that compensation in the mid to high six figures is on the generous side for anyone who's asking for other people's money. He says it's eyebrow raising. Mainstream evangelicals generally expect money they give to be used frugally. Wacker said big salaries come with questions. He said, does he live ostentatiously or does he give it away? Franklin Graham, who's 63, by the way, has said he wants to make enough money to be able to work for free when he turns 70. Well, I guess you know, he ought to be able to do that on 800.
Yeah, make it 800 grand a year for who knows how long he's made that. Possibly ought to be able to retire at 50.
Right? You know, it's just not a pretty picture, at least in my opinion. Now, I don't have a problem with people making money. My problem is when we, for example, like the scouting organization, when they want all the rest of us to donate both our time and our money so that, you know, things can go well. And then we find out the leaders are, you know, bringing in $500,000 a year. You know, something's wrong with that picture, in my opinion.
I agree with that. And that's why I say if somebody's going to spend full time at something, if that's their job, I'll give you an example. Let's say somebody's a head of a private school, for instance. Let's say they're an attorney, and this is a personal example that I know of quite well. The personal attorney was in Washington, D.C., could make, you know, $300,000-$500,000 a year pretty easy, but he comes back and he takes $150,000 salary, and I don't know if these numbers are accurate, but it makes the point. $150,000 salary, just say, to come and head up this private school, and people really want a very capable leader, someone who can keep them out of legal trouble, somebody who can lead with zeal and example, somebody who's a role model, and they get this guy, and he takes a third of a salary that he normally could make to do this because he believes in this cause. But yet he's got a family to support, so he can't really do it for free necessarily. See, to me, that's a wonderful balance strike. 150 grand a year is good money, but it's not belligerent for somebody who could make triple that. It's not belligerent for somebody who's gone to be a physician or an attorney or something like that takes a lot of education to do. It's all a relative statement. And so I know of a guy who's taken a pay cut, just like my example. The dollars may not be accurate. I'm just throwing out numbers to make the point. But this guy could make triple elsewhere, but he chooses to lead this private school. And I'm telling you right now, I'm grateful to get him. And yeah, we might get somebody else to come for free who's rich. But I'm convinced this guy does have a family. He does need the dollars to support the family. At the same time, he's taken an incredible hit to his salary because he has a greater belief. It isn't about money. Yeah, he's got bills to pay, but it isn't about money for him. It's about, you know what, I want my family to do well. I want to take vacations. I want to do all the things that I could do otherwise, but I'm going to give up significant money for this greater cause, which is the education of the youth in the private sector, without government involvement. See, to me, that is a real... What do you call that, a win-win-win, Kurt?
Yeah, and the key thing to remember here in this whole discussion is governments should be out of the business of charity. Government's got certain specific things to do. Only those should be done. And then the rest of us can participate in charitable giving wherever we choose to do it.
Yeah, now I would charitably give to this lady that's got quadruplets now. Kurt will tell you the story in seconds. James will respond. Would you charitably donate to somebody who's got quadruplets? Huh?
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
And Liberty Roundtable live in the roundtable right now. Sam Bushman, Kirk Cosby, and the incredible talk show host James Edwards with his award-winning program every Saturday evening, The Political Cesspool. Live and on-demand audio, thepoliticalcesspool.org. You can also check it out on the Roku player. Look at the Liberty News, or look at the special interest section for the Liberty News Radio channel, and then look up The Political Cesspool. It's on-demand and live at your fingertips, free, on your Roku player, also on the website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. So, Kurt, this lady had quadruplets, but that's not all.
Well, yeah, and now, you know, it's a, I don't know if you want to call this a, it's got to be good news, Sam. You know, you've got a retired school teacher. She's 65 years old, by the way, and she already has 13 other children. Their ages range from 10 to 44. By the way, from five fathers. She traveled abroad to have these donated fertilized eggs implanted. It's a procedure that's illegal in Germany, by the way. But now the doctors there have, delivered these babies, these four babies, prematurely. This was 3 months ago. And they are now doing well enough, and they can leave a hospital soon. They say they're about 88 ounces. I guess that's, 5 pounds, a little bit more. And, should be able to go home this month. Their names are, I'd tell them if I could say them, but...
So the bottom line, though, she's 65 and got quadruplets, James.
Yeah. Pretty amazing.
65 with quadruplets.
But that's to add to the 13 other children, sir. So now 17 children, four of them are quadruplets, and she had them at 65.
And how old is she now? I mean, this is a...
65, buddy.
She recently had these children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you asked if we would make a charitable contribution to her in light of this recent development. I think the best we could do is offer her a blindfold and a cigarette. But God bless her, four children at 65. That is a miracle. You know, all kidding aside, that is a miracle. And that is just one of those stories that you see, you know, one of the, you know, interesting tips of the day that you'd see on your, you know, email server that would pop up after you send some mail.
And here's the bottom line for me. Would I support $20 of my taxpayer dollars going to her? No, I would not. Would I maybe fund her double that to help with the family? Absolutely. By my free will.
Well, sure. I mean, you know, and that's tough. I mean, you wouldn't even think that was biologically possible, you know. And then to be 65 and to have those children. My wife was a triplet, so I know a little bit about that, you know, what that was like for her parents, you know, even having children at a normal, you know, many would consider to be a normal age, but we should all chip in on that one.
Ah, there you go. All right, insecticide link, Kurt, is there as well.
Well, you know, you guys know how I sell raw honey, and, I'll I'll hear this quite often. People will say stuff like, oh, man, what's happening with the bees? You know, there's big concern. I mean, my neighbor got some and then they all died. And I kind of like to ask them a simple question. What happens when your neighbor sees a bug? Doesn't he call the insecticide, you know, the guys that kill bugs? And what happens if he sees a weed? Doesn't he call the weed killer guys? You know, maybe that's going to affect the honeybees. But anyway, now the U.S.
Wait a minute. You're saying that there's like logic to this or something? Come on.
Well, I mean, I'm just a country bumpkin, but, you know, it does seem to make sense. If we kill all everything else, maybe it would kill a bee, too. But anyway, they say they found
Yeah, and if we kill cancer too much, it might kill the patient, you know.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Anyway.
All right, don't know why that is.
They say they found, you know, some stream samples with some insecticide in them, and I'm thinking, duh. But anyway, there you go.
Well, they're just like flabbergasted. Do they approve all these?
You know, sometimes, you know, you don't need flowery words. Sometimes the duh will cover it all. That was perfectly timed commentary.
Well, it's amazing to me, though, how we approve all these chemicals everywhere. We just got literally thousands and thousands and thousands of chemicals untested but approved by our government as, quote, safe and effective in our food, in our water, in our everything we touch and feel and use and put on, and et cetera, et cetera. And we wonder why things are going wrong and why almost one out of two people have cancer and people have all these autoimmune diseases and bees and everything are dying. And we're like, man, we can't figure this out. It's like, hello. All right.
Well, you know, one thing I've learned, Sam, in recent years is that absolutely everything, and I don't care what it is, everything is racist and everything causes cancer. Those two things are incontrovertible. You know, and it is true that undoubtedly, you know, obviously these chemicals can't be healthy for you, but, you know, people are living longer at the same time. I mean, people are living long lives. What are you going to do?
You're going to say this. Outspoken like her brother is the headline. Who are we talking about? How much do you guys know about Trump's older sister?
I know less than nothing.
All right. How about you, James? You know about Trump's older sister?
No, I don't. No, I do not know about his older sister.
All right. Well, her name is Marianne Trump. Her name is Marianne Trump Berry, Kurt and James. Marianne Trump Berry.
Not Marion Berry.
No. This is Marianne Trump Berry, sir. And she didn't marry Marion Berry either. No, sir.
Thank you.
Now, here's the deal about this lady. Remember I told you that Trump was an insider? And everybody said, oh, Sam, come on. He's taking on the inside people. Look, he's, you know, and I said, no, look, he's a rich cat. You got the big corporate world in bed with government. They've been doing it for years. Hillary and the Bushes and the Clintons, and everybody supports Trump and he supports them. It's been so forever. Yeah, Sam, but he's taking off the gloves now. Uh-huh. He who owns the media makes the rules. Look, they're promoting him because they love him and he's playing their Trump card, pardon the pun now. And so they're liking him for a while. However, Trump's older sister has very interesting political connections as well. And this proves my point beyond the shadow of a doubt. You ready? Trump's older sister. So the Donald's older sister, Marianne Trump Berry, she is a senior judge on the United States Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit, who was appointed to the bench by none other than Ronald Reagan, and promoted by Bill Clinton. Miss Berry, she's 78 years old. She would be the ideal person to argue in her brother's defense. Now, instead, though, Trump spoke for her and said, I asked for her counsel. As I had to deal with the Fox News fiasco. And the Trump sister said, just be yourself, she said. My sister has a very unique view on this, says Trump. And now listen carefully. Miss Berry's husband is John J. Berry. He was a politically connected New Jersey attorney who counted Mr. Trump as one of his clients. They now live in a, what do they call it? a Fifth Avenue apartment in Manhattan, overlooking, and they go onto this beautiful, it's a penthouse, folks. I guess it overlooks Central Park. Anyway, I have a sister that doesn't want to talk to reporters, joked the Donald. They mixed us up at birth. Maybe one of us got mixed up a little bit. Now, Miss Barry has had a four-decade career as a prosecutor and federal judge. She developed her own notoriety independent of her brother. Some people didn't even know she was part of the famous family. She's called the Trump Princess. There you have it. What do you say, James? Trump is as politically connected as you can get.
Remaining, so I have to make this quick. It is Trump's campaign has been so unprecedented with regard to the history of modern politics. It is absolutely impossible to know what is going on behind the scenes, if he's legit, if he's running with the blessing or at the expense of the establishment media. I think you can make a compelling case either way. But I'll tell you this. If, and I said this on my show, if the Republican Party primaries were tomorrow, I would vote for Trump because I know, with beyond a shadow of a doubt, that there is 0% chance that any of the other candidates are going to do anything good. How many times have we been tricked by these insiders? Even Scott Walker, who's one of the more allegedly socially conservative candidates out there, was told by his, you know, financier, a billionaire from Minnesota who's bankrolled his campaign, that he needs to step down off the social issues. And Walker told him, well, listen, I'm just saying these things because I was asked. But, you know, if I get elected, believe me, I'm not going to govern from a socially right position. And
there you have it. Now, interestingly enough, Trump didn't get involved in his sister's appointment to the court directly. However, his attorney, that's Donald Trump's attorney, his lawyer, his name Roy M. Cohn, listen.
Right.
A politically connected former counsel to Joseph R. McCarthy, then a senior White House aide to put his sister in. So there's ties on both sides all the way back to the White House, folks.
He didn't become a billionaire by not playing ball with the right people. I mean, we know that for sure. Come on.
And it has ties to the Reagan administration. There you have it, folks. I told you the documentation was there, and now it comes to light in mainstream press articles. Just thought I'd let you know that. All right. There you have it. Thanks for being alongside with the ride. James Edwards, thank you, my friend.
Hey, love you guys. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and we'll see you on Saturday night.
ThePoliticalCesspool.org. Check it out today. Incredible award-winning talk show. You can turn your phone into a radio by dialing 712-432-5339. We the people can restore America. This nation shall endure. Will you help? Thanks.